So we are in the Sermon on the Mount and focusing most of our attention right now on chapter 5. That's where we're going to be. And down the road, we're going to hit the other two chapters and see everything that Jesus wants us to know from this. And remember, it's all about this good news of a new king and a new kingdom called the Euangelion. That's just the word they use. Jesus borrowed it from culture and said, that's what it is. Good news about a new king and a new kingdom, and it's the already and the not yet. And I'm telling you, we're really good with the not yet. We're really good with that. We're really good singing songs about heaven, and, you know, some days you're just like, you're reading that verse over and over again that says, quickly come, Lord Jesus, right? That's your life verse right now, okay? Because things are just hard and difficult and a struggle, and we tend to focus on that not yet and not think that, wait a minute, Jesus is saying my kingdom is coming. It's here. So how am I inviting Jesus and how am I making him the king of my life and being a part of his kingdom? Both the already and the not yet. And this is where we start learning this already as Jesus begins to teach something that they thought was brand new. And Jesus is just going to say, no, this is what God meant all along. This is what we meant all along when we're talking about this. And remember, this is a really simple question. You can ask this question when you're reading scripture, when you're listening. I would encourage you to get the Bible app if you don't have it, because it'll let you do that on several translations, let you push a button and it'll play, okay? And you can listen to those words. And if you ever hit something, go, how am I supposed to do that? Ask this question. What does love require of me? Now, we had a topic today that I think is going to be easy for most of us, right? If you ever been there, and probably it's because me, I've got to study and get ahead of time, right? Murder. This ought to be good, right? How many murderers do we have in the building this morning, right? It's easy. It's one of those like, oh, this is going to be great, okay? We talk about the people that killed people. We go back and we talk about the first murder, Cain killing Abel, and this is easy. It never works out that way because that's not what God had in mind at the heart of the matter from the beginning, and Jesus is going to help explain that. It's not just, you don't just stand before Jesus one day, because we will in the not yet. There is accountability for what we do with what we have. Jesus was really clear about that. You can read those parables and stories he told about what that would be like to be accountable before Jesus someday. And you can't just stay there and when he asks you, how did relationships go? Well, I never killed anybody. Isn't that great? Okay. Right, I want a gold star on the chart for that, okay? Because I never killed anybody. I felt like killing a lot of people, but I didn't kill anybody, so I'm doing pretty good. Now, it'd be nice to do that, but that's really not what Jesus has in mind. In fact, he's going to teach this today, teach this to his disciples and to us, what was really meant at the heart of this command about do not murder. And I'm just gonna warn you now, it's convicting, okay? And as I've always told you, when I'm reading and, you know, I get all the conviction first, how are you doing first, all this stuff first. And I just don't like to keep that to myself. I like sharing it with you all. So we all just share and, that's what it means. That's what I need to be doing. And those questions about how am I doing right now and challenges in areas of relationship. So if you want to follow along, we're in Matthew 5, 21 through 26. Are the verses today that Jesus is going to talk about this whole topic. Follow along on the screen. If you're watching online, we're so glad you're joining us, and you can read the words right in the bottom of the screen if you'd like to follow along. Open your Bibles, open your Bible app, however it is, have that in front of you. And as I told you before, you can just read ahead and know exactly where we are going. So here we go. Jesus says, you've heard it that it was said to an older generation, so at the beginning, the ancients, all those fit in there, do not murder. And whoever murders will be subject to judgment. And you can go back and see all those different ones in the Old Testament where murder takes place and the judgments that happen, okay? There is judgment for those who do that. But I say to you, wait a minute, we got this wrong. If you think that is the whole matter of what God was getting at, you've got this wrong. I need to get you to understand what God was after in all this. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subjected to judgment. Oh, well, that's different. That's different. I won't ask you to raise your hand on that one because that's a lot more convicting. That probably happened this week. You got angry with somebody about something that happened. an email that was sent, a post that was done, something they said to you, something they might not even know they did to you, and you are angry with them. So, oh gosh, this has just ramped it up, right? This has just changed the whole conversation. Now it's not good enough to sit here and say, well, I didn't kill that person, okay? It was a good week. I felt like it, but didn't. It's now, am I angry? And who am I angry at? And now I just want to join in a conversation the Holy Spirit's already having with you about who is that person? Who is that person that you're angry with? He says, they're subjected to judgment. There's judgment there, is what he's saying. And whoever insults a brother will be brought before the council. Your words matter. And whoever says fool will be sent to fiery hell. In other words, your words really matter. They make a difference in people's life. Do you understand the accountability there is for just that? So now he's going to say, okay, it isn't what you thought it was. It's far different. And now we're all like, oh gosh. Now I think it's interesting, the original language, that word for fool is a four-letter word. Isn't that interesting? So any four-letter words come out this week or thought about when you were thinking about something else, somebody else, and what they did to you? You're going to fit into this category. So then Jesus says, so what do we do about that? Just, well, that's the way it is. I'm just angry. I'm just mad. I just need to get out my words and just be upset and angry. No, because now if there is something different, if God was after something different in the midst of all of this, oh, so what does this look like? So then if you bring your gift to the altar, so we do not live in first century Jerusalem where we are required to bring a sacrifice to the temple for the cleansing of our sins, okay? Now, if you can imagine doing that, you have the poorest of people could have had a dove, the more wealthy people could have had a sheep. Can you imagine that? You're standing in line ready to go next to the altar to offer your sacrifice, okay? So you're standing in line. If that's you, standing in line. And there you remember that your brother has something against you. In other words, there it's, oh, yeah, remember what happened? Remember that guy? Maybe you see him across the way with his dove or his sheep. And you're like, oh, you know, it's just like Walmart. Come on. You see people on the other side and you're like, I have to go down that aisle. Can I go somewhere else first? Okay. You might look at your list and say, can I avoid them? Okay. So this is you thinking that other person is there. Okay. They're getting there. I don't know, whatever. Okay. At Walmart. And you're like, oh, I got to go down that aisle, but I don't want to. I'd rather just miss them. This is what he's talking about. Okay. Because we're not standing in line offering sacrifices, but we might stand in other lines and we might see a person we're angry at. We've got something against. There's a broken relationship there. You remember that. Now, think back in their days. What do you do about that? I just avoid him, go to the other side of the store, and wait to come back, okay? What would they have done in Jesus' day? We got a sheep here. What am I supposed to do? Leave your gift there in front of the altar. Leave it. Now, that's just, wait a minute. There's a whole process here, Jesus. Do you understand how this works? Just leave it there. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your gift. He's like, no. The sacrifice isn't what's important. The relationship being restored is what's important. That's what's important, Jesus is pushing at here. That's what's important. What's important is not that you got your sheep to the temple and you made your sacrifice and you're okay. The important thing is that a relationship this way was restored. That's what God cares about, as well as you being reconciled to him. So reach agreement quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court. So if someone now has a charge against you, reach an agreement. Or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the warden, and you will be thrown into prison. Let's not go there, right? Over what? Over a disagreement that has taken place. I tell you the truth, you will never get out of there until you have paid the last penny. There's going to be consequences for those broken relationships. That's all he's getting at here. It's this idea of broken relationships. This is really important because we just made it, wow, I didn't kill anybody. Yeah, but how are your relationships? How are your relationships doing? Because remember, Jesus is saying this is how we live it out. This is how we rightly live out what we're reading in scriptures, that we think of it both ways. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. What does love require of me becomes the question that we start asking. And you realize, up to this point, this is what they thought. And come on, there's a lot of us who think that. They thought the law was to control the outside. And Jesus says, no, it's to change the inside. This is what we think. This is what many of us think the Bible's there to do. Oh, the Bible's just there to control me. It's just there to control me. It's just there to change my behavior. And so, no, it's there to change you on the inside. It's there to do just that. And we haven't thought about that, just like they didn't thought about that. Oh, I'm just controlling my outsides. No, Jesus cares about the heart. And he wants to see that change take place in your heart. Not you just controlling the outside as much as you can, as much discipline as you can. He wants a change from the inside out, is what Jesus has always been after in you and me, is that type of change. All about relationship, both vertical and horizontal. So, how then do we look at this and begin to apply it? What does it mean for us today to do what Jesus says when it comes to those horizontal relationships that get stressed, that get broken, that get messed up? And sometimes people do things and we didn't know they, you know, they don't know they did it. They didn't know they messed up. They didn't know they did this. And they, you know, we're a mess because of it. We're angry because of it. We use words we shouldn't use because of it. And what are we going to do to do this? What are we going to do to fix this? What does love require of me? There's our question. And so Jesus has answered it in here, and I just want us to kind of simply put this together today for what's required of me now with my relationships. What's required in my relationships that I have, especially inside the church, because he talks both. He talks both inside, what I would say inside the household of faith and outside the household of faith, to how are those going? How are you doing? And what does love require of you? What do you need to do today? What does love require of you today? To make a phone call, to see somebody, to do something, to take what is broken and put it back together. So here we go. Number one, right relationships. This is what he is after. Anger, words, actions. This kind of goes, right? Right in order there, okay? You're angry. Anger leads to words. I don't think we understand how much our words have impact. Your words have impact on yourself. Things that you say out loud. Things that we've talked about before, your self-talk. We could just stop right there and we just ask, how'd your self-talk go this week? You know, what did you say to yourself? Get up on Monday morning, oh, I'm such an idiot. What am I doing? Why am I late? I never can get my act together. Is that your self-talk? That's not going to go well, okay? That's just not going to go well. So let's talk about, who are you angry at? Who did you have words for or words at? Who did you take even actions against? Because he's just like, I'm at right relationships here. So I am backing it up and make sure you understand that I'm after the heart. And when you're angry at somebody, we got a heart issue now. We got a heart issue. No, you didn't go kill somebody, but something started in here. Something got broken. Anger, words, actions. I want you to think about those three things and think about what broken relationships you might have in your life that God would love, love, love to see restored. Because then they're restored, he gets so much glory and so much honor, and that's what he is so after, relationships getting restored. That is why he did everything he did, because he wanted to restore our relationship with him. So I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to rise again for your salvation. And I'm going to do everything I can to repair the relationship. And then I'm just going to invite you. Come here. I've done everything. I have done everything to restore this relationship. And now I'm just inviting you to come and be a part of that. In other words, catch the brokenness when you become angry. Catch the brokenness when you become angry. So think about that person you're angry at right now. It's okay. Might be a spouse, right? Might be a kid, might be a child, might be someone in your family, might be someone in the church, might be someone you work with. Just think about, He wants that brokenness caught early. That, oh, this can't continue because it doesn't like get better. You ever notice that? I think one of the biggest lies we tell people is time heals all wounds. Time heals all wounds. And the reason our culture goes to that, I had a little epiphany the other night. My wife was watching one of her shows. I will not say which one because then you'll be like, oh, he's against all shows. No, I'm not. It's just an observation. She's watching one of her shows, okay? And somebody had died and, right, they're trying to comfort the person, right? And I'm always like, oh, this is going to be good. These are culture teaching moments, people. You ought to lean into them, okay? Don't just do it. These are teaching moments. And so I'm like, what is she going to say? What is she going to say? What did she say to the person? Time will make it better, right? And at that point, I want to scream at the TV, but my wife would be upset because I messed up her show, okay? So, I just sit there and, I'd really like to say something, okay? Because that's all we have to offer. If we don't have Jesus who can come in and heal the broken, put back together what is broken, then we just have the Humpty Dumpty story and he's broken and nobody can help. Nobody can put it back together again. Catch the brokenness when you become angry. Don't think you have time. Give it another week. Give it a few months. It'll get better. No, it's not how it works. It is not how it works. It doesn't get better with time. Time does not heal all wounds. Time's not going to make it better. So catch it early. That's what he's trying to teach us. I care about relationships. You want to know how a relationship in your life is broken? Who are you angry at? Just start with that question. Who am I angry at? And what does love require of me to catch the brokenness early when I become angry? To reconcile, then. Number two, what is broken? When you know it's broken, then what do you do? What do you do at that point? Okay? And this is not a recipe that's going to fix everything. I just need to understand that because you always have another part involved. And they can either be a part of it or totally against it. So this is about, I'm going to do whatever I can on my end to fix a broken relationship. My responsibility. I'm not going to just stick it all on the other person. Nope. I have a role to play in this. How can I take what's broken and put it together? That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to reconcile what is broken. So when you know it's broken, what do? That relationship you know is broken right now. What do? That person in your family you haven't talked to in 10 years. What do? Invite him to Thanksgiving. No, right? We don't want to do that. What do we do about it? Here's what I want to show you what Jesus is talking about. Inside, don't just come to church and sit on opposite sides. Be reconciled. I really should have included this. Don't go to another church because then I don't have to see that person. Right? Don't do that. Be reconciled. See if, as far as it depends on you, as Paul told the Romans, live at peace. Make the first move. What are you doing? Be reconciled. See if you can put it back together again. Now, I will tell you, don't work. Doesn't work all the time. This is not 100% fixed. Do you know why? Because you have somebody else on the other side. And they might look at you and say, I don't care. I'm mad at you. I'm angry at you. I'm done with you. They might say that to you. Okay? You cannot control them. This is not a way to control people. This is not a way to manipulate people. This is not a way to get people to do what you want. This is a way for you to be right with God and right with the people next to you, in spite of whether they respond well or not. Nope, you did your part. You did your role. And Jesus sees that and honors you for that. And maybe someday, I'm telling you, I don't know how rare it is. It might be rare. You'll sit down and what is broken will get put back together again. And it'll be a glorious day. And you will celebrate that day. But you need to do your part. So inside the community of faith, because what did he say to them? Hey, if you're standing in line with a sacrifice, leave it. Now, that couldn't have been easy. That had to be costly. And he just told them to do it. Just do it. Leave it there. Can you imagine what the temple would be like with all these animals running around everywhere? Because everybody cared about going to be reconciled first before they went and offered that sacrifice. It would have been crazy, right? It would have been crazy, right? Singing the first worship song and you realize, I got to go talk to this person. So you go over and you put your arm around them and you work things out, right? That would just be weird, We think that'd be weird at times, but that's what he's calling us to do. Don't sit on opposite sides. Don't go to different churches. Don't just not go to church at all, right? Be reconciled. See what you can do on your end to do what God has called you to do, to put things that are broken back together again. Outside, work it out. As he says, don't let it go to court. Okay? That's his reference there of a first century where you could do that. That's probably far more than in our day and age would just be like, work it out so you don't get sued. Okay? Because that's the way we deal with a lot of different things today. There's a lot of lawsuits and a lot of litigious ways to deal with things. But don't let it get, this is what he's really saying, don't let it get outside your control. Don't let it get outside your control. Work it out. Figure it out. Work it out. Don't let it get to that point. Don't let it get to that point. And he's always telling them what? Make the first move. This might be the hardest thing Jesus says in all of this. I don't get to wait. I don't get to sit around. I don't need to go, I just need to pray more, Jesus, right? I just need to pray more. And no, he doesn't want us to pray more. He doesn't want us to gather three people together. And we all three pray more about this person who's, right? He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to actually do what? Make the first move. To stop waiting and praying and hoping and actually do something to see if it can be put back together. And I'm telling you, there are no guarantees in this. There are no guarantees. There is no pure fix. There just isn't. Because you're dealing with somebody else who might not. And I would urge you then, just consider examples from Scripture. Consider people like Pharaoh. It should have been easy for him, right? Just let the people go. Let the people go. And there's a section in there that, right, everybody debates over. What does it mean by God hardened his heart? In other words, God said, you're going to be stubborn. Go stubborn all the way, Pharaoh. Just go for it. Go for it until you totally wreck yourself, your army, and your nation being stubborn against what I want to do. Right? That could be the other side. You could have the other side of Pharaoh who's going to be Mr. Stubborn, Miss Stubborn, I'm not doing it, I'm not giving in, I'll never forgive you. You might run into that, and you can't do anything about it. You can't control anything. You can just do your part of making the first move. See, this is when if we sat down for coffee, yeah, but Ed, you don't understand. No, I do. I'm telling you, I do. I totally understand. I totally understand, okay? I look back now. We're almost to 27 years being here. You know how many people I've made mad? I mean, I can just give you my list, okay? And I'm telling you, they don't get reconciled. Sometimes you do things you didn't mean for it to go the way it goes, and it goes the way it goes. And you can try. You can try. I can tell you one situation where I was absolutely shocked because the person went to their pastor and then invited me in for a conversation about, yeah, and it was one of those that absolutely floored me. I actually sat there and didn't say anything because I didn't know what to say. As this person just admitted to every single thing they had done. Like, wow. That's when you go, wow, God. You know, God is moving, God is working. If we would just let him, it's amazing what will happen. And so what was broken got put back together. And you're always depending on somebody else. It's really hard. So do your part. Make the first move. You don't need more prayer time about it. You don't need more people agreeing in prayer. That's not what Jesus meant by, you know, when you have two or three people, I'm there and I'll make it happen, okay? That's not what he's leaning on there. He wants us to make the first move. So, now this becomes the hard part, okay? And I recognize that. Any relationships that need to be made right or reconciled, then I'm just going to ask you, what is your first move? Might not work. Might totally fail, okay? But what is your first move? You should be thinking about what's going to be my first move. Text, phone call, whatever. Just You're just going to be really brave and go knock on their door and see if you know, see if they'll actually come to the door or treat you like they do certain people where they hide and nobody's home, right? And maybe you're brave enough to try that. I just want you to think about, what's my first move? What's my first move? Because it'd just be really easy to walk out of here and go, oh, wow. Well, that's convicting. I think I'll pray more, right? Come on. Come on. That's where we're all at. It's so easy to do that. I'm asking you to ask Jesus to help you understand what is your first move. Because what does love require of me? It isn't to have a bunch of broken relationships. It's to do whatever I can on my part and then say, I did everything I could. Do you understand that? That's the way Jesus looks at the world. I did my part. And I so want you to come home. I so want you to come home, but I'm not going to make you. I can't make you. I can't control you. Your choice. And I want you to know the person on the other side has that same choice. So please don't think there's a magic pill that will fix everything. I'm saying what matters is your relationship with God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And right here, God is saying, let's see if what is broken can be reconciled for my glory, for my honor, for what I would love to do in the world by showing people what happens when people start following me. Relationships that are broken can get put back together again. So let me pray with you today that we would just ask God to help us to understand what is that first move that I need to make. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us today. Broken relationships are hard. Some of us have had to think about people we really didn't want to think about today. We don't want to think about them because what was done to us. What they did. What they said. How they treated us. The way it broke us. It's hard. It's hard. And yet, Father, we know that you see, you hear, and you are here moving and working in this place. You are the way maker. We ask you to make a way. And we ask you to help us understand what our first move is. To not expect everything's going to be like it was before. We have a broken relationship, but we'd love to see healing begin to take place where it has never taken place before. So we surrender these to you, these relationships that are broken and hurt to you. We ask you to work and move and do what only you can do. But Father, may us be committed that we have a first move in mind and we are ready to take it. And we will be obedient and leave the results up to you. And what happens on the other side of those. But we're going to be right with you. And as long as whatever we can do, be right with each other. Because that's what love requires of us. Move and work in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to pray.